Hello, Potters. Welcome to episode 42, the episode to both begin and end all things cosplay. We shall bequeath unto you the answers to everything in this episode. Promise.
42 is the magical number of everything.
Yes. For those who don't get the reference, one, shame on you.
Shame on you.
you must re-earn your geek cred by going to read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Or you can be lazy and watch the movie.
No, you really need to read the book to get the full impact. It is a quirky little book. It's by Douglas Adams, and you should read it. You can
Everyone's
go see the movie,
to
too, but you should read it.
Yeah, you really need to read it.
You can go to your local library or half-price books and pick up a copy for pretty inexpensively. In fact, I saw two copies when I went to the public library sale on Thursday night. And I saw it and went, aww. But I have a nice hardback engraved version, so.
Well, of course you do. Like any true geek should.
I like having nice copies of my books.
Especially the ones that you really like.
They'll last a lot longer that way. My paperbacks tend to get destroyed, especially if I move.
I have to be really careful with mine. I have actually, my aunt got this for my birthday once. It's a first edition paperback of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the entire series. It's gorgeous, but man, I have to protect the crap out of it because it's paperback. I don't touch it.
I feel so bad because we were on vacation once when I was a kid, and I know this is a tangent, but I'll make it short. I had a second print edition of Tolkien's Return of the King. Mm-hmm. Second print. And my mother threw it out. Because my little brother's damaged part of the book. Mm-hmm. And so they just got rid of it instead of trying to fix it. And I was like, you don't know what that was.
That's horrible.
This was a long time ago, granted. But it was like, why? That was like, you can't find those anymore. You can't find first and second edition prints of anything unless it's in a vacuum-sealed Ziploc baggie selling for, things with three or four zeros on the end.
Yeah.
So
you need to go to an auction house to get one, basically.
So now I have the modern versions you buy for like $5 from Walmart for the Return of the King, which makes me kind of sad. At least I still have the second print edition of The Two Towers.
Hey, that's
which
something.
That makes me very... That one was salvaged, thankfully. So, it could be worse.
Yeah, I would have been like, little brother, you are dead.
Well, I can't really do that. I have to set a good example.
Okay, disown him. Temporarily.
Okay. Well, to get back on topic slightly... we want to start out by giving a huge congratulations to Cupcake Cosplay for winning the Brother Award, which is Best Craftsmanship, and second place overall at the World Cosplay Summit Championships that actually literally just took place in Japan within the last 24 hours.
Awesome.
Those of you who were able to watch, I hope you enjoyed it, as there were some pretty awesome-looking costumes and skits, which we will be talking about in the after session. And if you did not get a chance to see it, because I know it did air very early here in the States.
Ridiculously early for all of us.
Especially for those in Pacific time, it aired really early. But for those here in the States who were not able to see it, if you register on Nikoniko, then you can actually still watch it. They have it available for up to 30 days, and you can watch it unlimited number of times. And registration is free. It doesn't cost you anything. They don't send you spam emails or anything. So it's worth it. Go have a watch. It'll take about 2 hours of your time. But still, well worth 2 hours.
I've been told that the Italy one is awesome because there were laser eyes. So that's enough for me to watch.
We will discuss that in the after session.
Oh, yeah.
I did want to warn people that if you do want to put it on in the background, the vast majority of the dialogue is in Japanese.
Of course.
So if you're...
It's in Japan.
Right. So if you're in another room crafting or something similar to where you're just listening to it, unless you speak Japanese, you're probably not going to understand the vast majority of it. And the skits themselves are not subtitled.
That kind of seems weird. Why would you want to listen to it?
Just bear that in mind.
Where it's a skit, you kind of have to watch it. You lose the meaning if you just listen. Because most of them are probably not even vocal. A lot of them are very much movement and dance oriented or some form of that.
Some of them had a lot of dialogue.
Really?
Which I was going to try and put it on in the background because I had stuff I have to get done today. Mm-hmm. I have priorities. And I couldn't do it because I kind of went in the other room and went, okay, I cannot just go by these skits just on audio alone because I don't know what's going on. I have to be able to see it. Mm-hmm. So I sat in front of my computer and watched it. So just, you know, heads up for those who want to just, you know, put it on in the background. I hope you speak Japanese. So big congratulations, Go Team USA, for the World Class placement.
Nice little tidbit. It's the first time in 8 years that we've placed within the top three. So the fact that we got second place as runner-up, that's awesome. They deserve it, too. They've been doing it for so many years trying to get in. So yay!
Mm-hmm. And speaking of other recent events that took place, Barbican is over now. You don't have to hear us keep. You don't have to keep hearing us harp about it. No, Barbican was, I would say, a pretty big success.
Yeah.
All in all, yes, it was hot. We know that it was Texas. It's summer.
Fully aware of that. It's Texas. We know. Hot in the summer. Duh.
There were actually quite a few people in cosplay, which was excellent. Oops. I mean, those who did not come in cosplay were also excellent. I don't want to put it on those. I was just like, you know, it takes a bit of dedication to go out in costume when it's 90 degrees outside. For those who go to Project Akon, you probably understand that really well.
Especially since we were cooking, and I'm sure you were sweating after you were done with your portion of the meal.
I was pouring sweat. I was literally pouring sweat, which was kind of gross.
So glad that I chose not to put on a costume, because I would have been miserable at that point.
But at any rate, everything went spectacularly well, considering.
Mm-hmm.
We did have to wait a little bit for the little leaguers who were unexpectedly there practicing the morning to move out.
Whoops.
Which we were polite to them. Unfortunately, the workshop did not go off as planned because the wind thwarted my candle power double burner. It kept blowing my candle out, which was so rude.
I love her idea for trying to get hot glue to work was to do a double candle burner, and it was.
It actually did work when I did it. It did work when I did it, and they actually do make electric versions of what I did. But unfortunately, the sockets that were there in the pavilion were not hot.
Right.
So we couldn't actually use any electricity, which kind of defeats the whole purpose. Which is why I had to have a candle-powered double boiler, because we didn't have electricity with which to run this stuff, and I really didn't want to sit there and take a butane burner and just, like, roast the sticks, which would be foolish.
That would have been funny.
So, it would have been hilariously funny. Yes, well, that would not have been funny. At any rate, unfortunately, that did not go off. I hope to do it in the near future at another meet. It just unfortunately did not happen at Barbican. But there was a lot of food, there was games, there was a lot of socializing.
Yeah, definitely a lot of just chill out and relax time. That's basically what it came in. That was good. We needed it.
Shout out to Chell's Beast Soul for wearing the giant Arcanine plushie costume.
Oh my god!
In the heat.
Thinking? Not that it's not epic, because it's really cool and she's so nice and sweet about it, but oh my god, lady. Seriously, it's 90-some-odd degrees outside. Just no.
It is, but as someone who has known fursuiters, you either get used to it or you get out of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you do end up building some endurance when you're in those kind of suits, but still, it was really hot outside for a fursuit. So, big props to Chels for bringing that along and being patient enough to wait for the multitude of people taking pictures of it.
Gee, I wonder why. I wasn't cooking, I probably would have done the same thing.
And we have posted those on our website, so if you head over to our Facebook page, you can see our photos. It's also linked on our homepage, incidentally. So we had a good time. I think we ended up having almost 40 people turn out.
Yeah, which
was actually, that was pretty solid, especially given the park. We will be doing it next year. It will not be at that same park. We are moving it next year And we will give that information, you know, as we get toward next year when I choose a date. Mostly because we don't want to hold it in the middle of July again next year.
Yeah, it was just one of those things with timing. Yeah, it was too hot, but timing was really the only thing that allowed us to do it last weekend.
Right, which, all in all, that was probably the best possible day we could have done it weather-wise, like, for those, in that two-week period. We actually ended up getting the best possible weather. So next year we will be in a different place at a different time, mm-hmm. and we will probably have a lot more people.
Great, especially if we have a little bit more advance notice.
Yes, there will be much more advance notice, and I will probably call it Con Zoom instead of Barbicon, just so we don't limit it to barbecue. Although barbecue is fantastic.
Con Zoom sounds so weird. I like Barbicon, even if it's not barbecue related. I just love the fact that it's called Barbicon. It's just so ridiculously awesome.
We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling next year, how punny I'm feeling. I make them up with something better.
It makes it easier for me to get chibis of people in costume making food.
That is true. So we will be looking into that for next year. We may do another event again this year. I don't know. It's really going to depend on my pocketbook, because all these places that you have to reserve cost quite a bit of money, whether you're a resident or not.
Nothing free.
And sadly, very well, there are a couple places that are free, but very few of them are free for the number of people that we expect.
Right.
So, but still, it was a nice little gathering. I'm very glad it went off as well as it did.
Agreed.
So why don't we get into the meat and potatoes, speaking of food, of this episode?
Food.
So, yes, there is food to be had in the form of questions.
Yay. We sent out a request to you guys on our Facebook page, and I posted this also on my personal page. Since we decided it's episode 42, we'll make this the question and answer episode. Whatever you guys wanted to know about cosplay, we will answer it to the best of our abilities. Because we don't know everything. But we know most stuff.
We know most stuff.
It's true. And if we don't know the answer, we can find somebody who does know the answer. So, hey.
That is true. Which is partially why we wanted to have the questions in advance. So that in case we didn't know the answer, we could go find someone who did. Which I admit there's actually quite a bit I don't know about cosplay. So I'm looking forward to having some of these questions answered.
Uh-oh. I've become the expert, but I've been cosplaying less time than you.
Time doesn't necessarily have much to do with it, to be honest. All right, so why don't we get this thing started?
Do you want to round robin the questions?
Yep.
Okay.
You first.
Okay, first question. What is the best age to start cosplaying? That's an open-ended loading.
Birth.
There are so many kids that are getting into it now. It's ridiculous. Like, I remember when mini Chun-Li was the thing. And now we got, like, mini Gokus. We got mini Moogles. I mean, oh, man.
Exactly. You see parents literally dressing their 10-month-old baby in kigurumis and costumes. It is awesome, and I approve. So, birth.
I see full families of, like, The Incredibles now. Like, they've got the full, like, 5-family set ready to go. It's like, wow, that's hardcore.
It's awesome. I approve. Realistically, the first age that you would probably start cosplaying yourself and not having your parents dress you in a costume?
And not be embarrassed about it?
I would probably say middle school age. You know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. It's old enough for them to kind of be cognizant of what cosplay is and to want to dress up on their own. Mm-hmm. So, what age is that? Early teens? Early teens.
8th grade is about 12, 13. So yeah. You're looking about the 10 to 13 range.
Yeah. So, tweens.
Now, I must be of the opposite mindset, but keep in mind that I didn't start doing this cosplay thing until I was in my mid-20s. I personally would have loved to have started when I was at about 20, 21, because I figured by then that's enough time for me to gain my independence that I could, one, have a job and pay for things myself. I wouldn't have to worry about begging to my parents for money for materials. But so I could also pick things that I knew would fit me and my personality better. I wouldn't have to be forced to make changes to cover myself up in order to meet my parents' approval. Because let's face it, there are kids out there who want to wear, like, bikini costumes, and your parents are probably not going to let you do that. But if you're 20, what are they really going to say, huh? So, I figure that's still young enough that you can get into the hobby, but old enough to know that you can make your own decisions and not get blasted by your family for it.
Frankly, I didn't really care much if my family tried blasting me for it. It's like, you know what? I enjoy this. I'm wearing this costume. It's modest enough to be worn in public. I'm wearing it.
Oh, I know my parents think I'm still weird about it until I showed my dad my first Star Wars one, and he was like, oh, this is cool.
But, well, then again, I got my start in Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, so for you...
You can get your start real young in Ren Faire.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy transition. But for me, I didn't start till I was like 24, 25, so... I am way old in comparison to the cosplay community, because most of them are going to be young teenagers.
Right. Which, conversely, we also have the question, at what age do you think someone should stop cosplaying?
Never! Never, ever,
I don't know that there. I don't know that there is a definition to that, because we've actually put up pictures on our Facebook recently of people who are literally cosplaying into their 70s and 80s.
Literally. I would totally do that.
I mean... Even if you have a walker or a wheelchair, recently there's been some really awesome wheelchair costumes. Somebody turned their wheelchair into a TIE fighter and dresses Darth Vader. How awesome is that?
Brilliant! Oh my god, I
love that! Seriously, you don't have to worry about disability or infirmity stopping you from cosplay. There are ways around it. There are some really creative ways around that. So I don't know that there is an upper limit. Unless it's whenever you want to stop. If you lose the joy in cosplaying, then yeah, you should probably stop.
That's really what it should come down to. It's your personal feelings on when you think you should stop it. It shouldn't be a specific number. It shouldn't be like, oh, when I'm 30, I'm going to stop cosplaying. Well, heck, I know people who are like 35, 38, 42, 69 that are still cosplaying. So it should not be an age limit. It should be when you are no longer having fun wearing the costume. I think that's a point when you need to step back and be like, okay, let's find something new. Maybe I'll come back to it in a couple of years, maybe not. It should be about fun first and foremost.
And there's plenty of characters, too, to choose from,
oh,
even if you are elderly. There are still plenty of characters to choose from.
There are a ton of Miyazaki movies that I would love to do when I get older.
It's not even limited to anime.
Oh, definitely not.
We had Princess Bride cosplayers the other day.
We've had Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
With Papa Jones. That was great.
Exactly. So, you know, there are unlimited numbers of choices.
Cool. All right. Next question. When does costuming become cosplay, or are the two terms interchangeable?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess.
Yeah. Because there are some cosplayers that I know who will strictly say, no, I am cosplaying, I am not in a costume, and vice versa. Costumers who say, no, I am in a costume, I am not cosplaying.
It depends on how you define the terms, to be honest. Because I know that in a lot of media, they're interchangeably used, and so people may end up getting a little confused. But I know that at least in the costuming and cosplay communities, we tend to generally define cosplay as being in character. You don't necessarily have to be all theatrical and act that way, but it's more of an internal transformation of taking on characteristics of the character. Costume play, cosplay. Costuming is more the technical aspect of the costume itself, the clothing, the props, the armor, the things that you put on and take off. But it really has nothing to do with whether or not you are the character. You're just kind of wearing the same clothing the character does.
So
Correct me if I'm wrong?
No, that's exactly what I think. And I think in a lot of ways, so many of us, when we walk around a convention floor, we think of ourselves as costumers, even though we may not say that. We think, oh, we're in cosplay. But once we're in front of the camera, we're on the stage, then we turn that play mode on. So then it morphs into cosplay. So I think we do a little bit of both.
to be honest, I consider myself a costumer. Mm-hmm. I am not necessarily a cosplayer because I do a lot less of the character stuff. But I still, you know, end up getting tossed in that category, which is fine because it's like a ball pit. All yeah. sorts of diverse colors and fun.
I think also people associate cosplay with like anime, video games, manga. So if you do any one of those type of things, you're going to be thought of as a cosplayer, whereas if you do a Star Wars outfit or something from a movie or from a comic book, you might be thought of more as a costumer.
Right. Cosplay seems to be more of a pop culture thing.
Absolutely.
Especially with the recent coverage of Comic-Con, which we're also going to cover later. A lot of it was covered as cosplay rather than costumers.
Right.
So I think in general, people are kind of seeing it as more of a recent thing, whereas costuming is more of an, I don't know, it's, I don't want to say the word technical, but it's more of a profession. I mean, it's yeah. what people do for movies. If you need costumes and uniforms to wear for movies or TV shows, it's more of the technical, professional, this is my job aspect of
right.
making costumes. That's kind of more what people associate it with. Like something you'd win an Academy Award for is costuming for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to kind of be what it's taken as, which is fine. I think you really have to decide for yourself if you are a cosplayer, costumer, or both.
Both. And I think it's okay to be both. There's nothing wrong with being both. It goes, mm-hmm. you know, it's me, lopsided.
Yep. Works for me. What are some fabrics to avoid like the plague?
Costume wow. satin.
I guess it really depends on... I know all these questions are going to be a depends, but your patience level?
Yeah, yeah.
The quality and accessories on your sewing machine?
Yeah, that's
true. If you have one. And your budget.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely three.
So, oh, and your time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because some fabrics take a lot more time to work with than others. It's not that they're hard to work with, they're just finicky.
Yes.
So they just take time. Some fabrics, you simply have to have money to work with them at all, mm-hmm. like bridal satin. Some fabrics you really cannot work with unless you have, say, leather needles on your sewing machine. Because otherwise, there really isn't a way to punch through them without having pliers and a carpet needle. And quite frankly, your patience level can really define whether you get into a fabric or not.
Yeah.
Just because it's really easy with some of these fabrics to just kind of get frustrated and give up.
Yeah.
So what are your fabrics to avoid besides costume satin?
Costume satin. You know, I'm the type of person that I think that any type of fabric can be used with the exception of costume satin. Because I'll use cotton in weird ways, I'll use twill in weird ways, I'll use, you know, anything in very odd and mysterious ways. Like, this is an odd-ass fabric that I found the other day, but apparently it's a knit that stretches. And I'm using it for a headscarf. Okay, sure, why not? It's supposed to be used for a blanket. No, I'm going to use it as a headscarf. Screw you guys. So I'm the type of person that thinks that a fabric can be used in any way with the exception of costume satin. Costume satin is ridiculously shiny. Even the matte side out, it is stupidly shiny. It frays really easy. It puckers like nobody's business. It is just a crappy, crappy, crappy fabric. And it's called costume satin because 9 times out of 10 you're going to find it in a Party City or Party Store costume. It's just crappy fabric that doesn't last at all. There's only one time use that you can use costume satin, and you might be able to get away with it, is if you make it out of bias tape for a very, very small section of your costume, and you do it matte side out. Then it's not as shiny. But then it's also, like, less than an inch thick, so nobody's really going to notice anyway. So just avoid that, and you're fine. Everything else is open game.
I am not a fan of marine vinyl.
Really? I like that stuff.
The reason for that, well, I like using it as a costumer, but working with it, I find that it's very difficult if you want to sew it any more than one layer thick through a sewing machine, unless you have really strong feed dogs, because it will not go evenly through your machine, and you end up having to oil your machine, which then gets oil all over your vinyl and your fingers.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's more of just a pain to work through a machine, and it's near impossible to work with your hands unless you have pliers and a carpet needle. It's a lot like really stiff veggie tanned leather.
I'm using some in an upcoming costume, but my machine can handle it. My machine can handle so much.
Yeah, it's one of those where you realistically need to have leather needles.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to have the right needles or the right machine and the right needle.
Right.
And patience.
marine vinyl is also a little bit more expensive than, say, pleather.
Yes.
And that's simply because it's used for automotive upholstery and for boats, hence marine vinyl.
Not technically
so
supposed to be used for costume.
Right. It's not supposed to be used for costumes, but the quality and the durability of that stuff is awesome.
I'm using it for fringe on a belt, and the color of it was just perfect. So I was like, I have to get this. I don't want to have to deal with anything else. So there you go.
unfortunately, my budget doesn't support very many fabrics at the moment, simply because I am a college student that can't get scholarships. And so most of what I work with are the real cheap broadcloths, the satins, very rarely silks. But I find that the shinier the silk or the surface of the fabric,
mm-hmm.
the harder it is to work through a machine.
Absolutely.
Simply because there's nothing to grip. And things like crepe-backed satin, satin side out, or, you know, costume satin, costume silk, you can't really oil those. You can't oil your machine to work with them because they'll stain the fabric. So there's not really much that you can do besides put something like adding tape, you know, on sandwich your fabric between the layers of adding tape so your feed dogs have something to grip. Alternatively, you can get a walking foot for your sewing machine.
Walking foot, yeah. Another cheap method is to use freezer paper.
Hence the adding paper.
Yeah.
Any kind of grippy paper that your sewing machine can, you know, grab onto as it's moving the fabric. Mm. You can use freezer paper. You probably wouldn't want to use wax paper. You can use parchment paper.
Do not use wax paper.
Wax paper kind of defeats the purpose.
Yes.
But you can use parchment paper.
Parchment's fine.
You can even use newspaper.
Yeah.
If you have
really
a lot of that.
Newspaper.
I mean, you can use adding tape. You probably won't want to use magazine paper simply because it's glossy.
Yeah.
So any matte sort of paper you can use to help with that. It's still, you know, it's kind of hit and miss with your sewing machine.
Absolutely.
Plus, it's one of those, if you get a fabric, incidentally, that is considered a non-woven,
mm-hmm.
and you punch holes through it and you find that you made a mistake, you sewed your line maybe not so straight, or you didn't have the right depth, those holes don't go away.
Yeah, they're stuck there forever.
Usually woven fabrics like cottons are considered self-healing, which is to say that the threads of the fabric will kind of shift to cover up a hole if you punch a hole in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
But fabrics like vinyl, pleather,
leather, all that stuff.
Silk, satin, there's a few others, but most of those, once you punch holes in them, that's
You're
it.
With that. Yeah.
Then you have to cover them up with bias.
That's why most of us don't want to do the Ava costumes in vinyl, because, man, you make a mistake, it's there. You're screwed. You cannot undo it. Which is why we go with spandex.
Your turn.
Next question. All right. Should people with tattoos attempt to cover them up if they are not relevant to the character being cosplayed? And if so, how?
Personal question.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't have one, but I do know people who do have them. There's actually a girl that I met recently. Her name is Anna. She does some Legend of Zelda cosplays and a couple of other things, but she lets her tattoos get shown. And they don't bother me at all. I think they're kind of cool. They may not be relevant at all to the costume, but I'm like, oh, that's really cool body art. It kind of somehow all works together. But there are times when she does cover it up, too. And with her, she just uses normal makeup, normal concealer, nothing special or fancy. If it's something like where she needs to cover her, she's got one that comes a little bit on her neck and a little bit on her chest.
Décolletage.
There we go. If she ever needs to cover that one up for a particular character, what I would recommend in that case is if you get Ben Nye's cream makeup, they actually have a wide series of skin type colors. Fantastic to work with, easy to put on, easy to wash off, stays on most of the day. So that's an alternative.
I think it depends partially on whether you're trying to be a costumer or a cosplayer.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Because if you're trying to be in character and be accurate, yeah, you probably want to cover the tattoos up for accuracy reasons. But if you're not really trying to be accurate to the character, like 100%, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if you're just walking around and having fun, then why does it
pretty
really
much
matter? Sometimes the tattoos are awesome.
sometimes the tattoos are even relevant.
Yeah.
You know, so
happy coincidence.
It's just a personal choice, and if people don't like it, well, there's going to be people that don't like it.
Yeah, there are always people who won't like it. There will always be someone out there somewhere who doesn't like something. So you know what, fudge them. Do what you want.
It's always going to be haters in cosplay. Always.
Always.
All right, I think you're going to have to explain this one to me.
I don't know what this one is. I'm going to have to Google it. Hang on.
The question is, what is our stance, being Cospod, on the butts on floor, pics no more? I don't know what that is. I have never heard of this.
Oh, okay. I just
explain.
I found this on Tumblr. Tumblr. There's this picture of a Captain America cosplayer who is sitting on the floor. He's texting with his cell phone. So it looks like that he's obviously didn't want to have any pictures taken of him, but somebody took his picture at Akon. This was recently posted
Got
about
it.
2 weeks ago. So basically the idea is that if I'm sitting on the floor and I'm obviously not interested in getting my photo taken, don't just snap it and keep walking. So basically, you know, the snipers, when you're obviously not supposed to be taking their photo, like when you're eating.
I would say unless that is the specific effect you're going for, like if you're in a bar eating to get pictures in character of your character eating,
yeah,
like we did with Slayers,
mm-hmm.
Otherwise, nope. There are certain times when pictures are off limits as cosplayers because there is a person under the costume.
We need to sit, we need to rest, we need to eat, we need to use the bathroom. We need to be real people sometimes.
Yeah, we are human beings under the costume, and we sometimes need to take time out of the costume without taking the costume off.
Exactly.
So 9 times out of 10, if you see a cosplayer who is obviously not in character, and they are doing very non-cosplayer human kind of things, I would leave them alone or ask first.
Always, yep. Always, always ask before you take a photo, irregardless of the situation. Please just ask first. Or if you do take a photo, and I've done this before where I've taken a photo of people who are just kind of relaxing, but I will go up to them immediately afterwards and say, hey, I took this photo of you because I thought this was really, really cool. Do you mind if I keep it? And they say, yes, cool. If they say, no, I really don't want that. I'll give you a better pose. I'll delete it, take another picture. So just ask, please, for the love of crap. It's not that difficult.
It isn't.
I hate snipers. I'm sorry. It's just annoying. It's not pretty when I have something being shoved into my face so I can eat.
Also, we should probably emphasize that taking a picture like that is widely frowned upon in the cosplay world. It's not seen as a good prank to play. Taking a picture of somebody in a compromising position, like
not
if they are
cool.
Eating or if they are getting ready to use the restroom, you know, if they have toilet paper on the bottom of their shoe, if something is wrong, it is not considered good form to take a photo of that. You should politely say something to them and, you know, they'll take care of it. But that doesn't give you liberty to take a photo of it and then post it online for the world to see and embarrass them. So just making sure that I make that point.
Yeah. In the same breath, if you see somebody who looks like they're trying to step away from like a photograph situation where they're like constantly being asked for photos and they keep saying, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, I need to do something, feel free to step in and help out and be like, hey guys, you know, I've made a barrier wall before for a Captain America. Funny how it was coincidence. Nice link there. Yay. So that way he could take an emergency phone call. So it's okay to step in and help out if somebody looks like that they need a second to themselves. People are usually understanding. Sometimes they just don't think about it because they're in a con setting and like, oh, cool, all these costume people. They don't realize, hey, we're normal too.
You can always ask the cosplayer to meet up later.
Oh, yeah.
To take their photo later on. If they have something going, like if they're eating, just say, hey, can I come back in a half an hour after you're done and get your photo?
Mm-hmm.
Cosplayers are usually pretty accommodating people.
Because we want people to take our photos. Okay, so the next one. How long does it take for you to get ready in your costume?
Which costume?
I know, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, this is too open-ended. I cannot answer this question. I guess as a general ballpark rule, I try to give myself at least 2 hours. Granted, I don't use a full 2 hours. Usually I only take about an hour to get ready, get my makeup on, and I'm good to go. And I try to offer myself at least 30 minutes to get to my destination, because just in case there's any issues, there's any trouble, there's any traffic, backup, whatever. But if it's something like a costume where I need to do my full face paint makeup stuff, I try to give myself 3 to 4 hours, because I know that's going to take me a lot of time. And I'll sit at home and I'll time myself to see how long it's going to take me to get ready. If it's something where I'm going to be entering into a contest, I definitely time myself. So I know I give myself plenty of minutes, hours, however long it may be, to get into my contest piece. So it... such an open-ended question. I can't answer that.
Doing a practice run is always a good idea before you go to con, because if nothing else, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you can see how things are going to look from the photographer's point of view, and then you can see if you need to fix anything, if you need to maybe change your pose, if you maybe forgot to cover up a spot of makeup. You can just see how things are going to go before you even get to the con, where then you're stressed out. In general, it takes me about an hour to get into any of my costumes, simply because I try and make them clothes-like in that I can just kind of slip it over my head, and most of my pants are elastic, so I don't have to mess with them. I try not to have too many layers in my costumes, just because I don't want to die of sweat and heat exhaustion.
You know, that doesn't always happen.
Realistically, the thing that takes me the longest is the makeup, and that's not even doing body paint. It's just standard, you know, concealer, eye makeup, lip gloss, that sort of thing, and then having to conceal my eyebrows.
Yeah.
And that takes me so long because, one, I have a lot of freckles. So it usually takes me a couple of coats of concealer just to get my face, you know, smooth. But it takes me forever and a day to do my eyebrows because my hair is so dark. So I have to take special care to, one, make sure that I have them properly concealed first so I can at least get most of the dark color out, and then I have to color them.
Yeah.
And most of us, I have to do a couple layers.
Our costume to match with our hair, so.
Right. And it can take you a couple of coats to get enough color for it to be seen, because you have to remember that when you cosplay, it may look obvious to you 2 feet in front of the mirror, and then you get a photo taken and it's all washed out.
Exactly.
So you have to kind of exaggerate a lot of your features so that it will be seen 5 feet away in the camera shot, no matter how high the resolution is. You still want to exaggerate just a bit for those who won't be up close and personal. So you have to have really intense color on your face for it to be obvious. I know that I end up using Ceram Coat paint just because it's cheap and it's thick.
I know a lot of people who do that.
Ceram Coat is probably one of the premier brands of acrylic paints because it's so thick, so that you can just layer it on a lot less than the other brands. It's not runny, and it's water-based, so you can just wash it off or just take a wet washcloth and just kind of wipe it over, and it goes away.
Yeah.
You know, no need for glue, because I know a lot of people use PVA, white school glue, Elmer stuff, to slick down their eyebrows and provide a canvas over which they can paint. But quite frankly, I don't want adhesives anywhere near my eyebrows because it pulls hair out, and that's painful. So I use the ceram coat so I don't have to use the glue.
That's
just me.
Yeah, to say, I know a lot of cosplayers who do that, so you're not the only one. What I do is after I cover up my eyebrows, if it's necessary, a lot of times I have dark colored hair, so I really all I need to do is just paint them and done. But once I cover them, I'll use a light colored eye brush tool, eye pencil actually. It's more than likely it's going to be a tan or a slightly lighter color. Do the fakies, and then I'll paint over it with eyeshadow. I like the eyeshadow a lot better. It's easy to come off too, plus I don't have to worry about paint.
I don't worry about paint. I just have to make sure it's dry.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Excuse
Good
me.
Timing.
To make sure it's dry before I put on my wig.
Yep.
That's all. And it honestly, ceram coat takes like 10 minutes to dry.
Yeah.
So I just do all my face makeup first, and then I put on the costume, and then I put on the wig last. Especially because it can be really difficult to get a wig on over armor, wings, or any sort of, you know, large accessories on a costume.
Mm-hmm.
Wigs tangle like nobody's business, man.
Even the short ones. I don't care what anybody says. All wigs tangle.
All wigs tangle, and they tangle like within the first 10 minutes. It's very quick. And most of them are not like human hair where you can just kind of roughly run a brush through it and the tangle goes away for a while. No. You have to specially, like, baby your wig to untangle it later if you don't want to lose the fibers that are in it. Because good wigs are not cheap.
No, and they still suck to detangle. I don't care.
Yeah.
They all suck to detangle. There is no one better option over the other. They're going to suck.
All right, how do you pick your characters? Carefully?
Using a magic wheel.
Russian roulette.
Ooh, I like that one. I flip a coin sometimes.
Well, that's only if you have two choices. See, it ends up being like a Price is Right Plinko game where you just kind of take the little token and you just let it go down there and you have like 15 slots at the bottom and it's like, okay, I'm doing this one.
And for some of us, because we have like our giant spreadsheets of costumes we would like to do one day, that's probably very accurate.
Every cosplayer has a cosplay list.
Yes, we do.
Every cosplayer, even if they haven't written it down, they have cosplays that they know they want to do and that they are potentially feasibly capable of doing within X period of time. Usually it's within a year, maybe two. So most of us end up at least knowing in our minds of what we want to try and do.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly a matter of, do you have the budget for the materials you want for said costume? Do you have the time to actually complete said costume? And do you have the capabilities necessary to complete said costume for things like prop making, armor making, metal smithing, carving, casting, that sort of thing? So once you've got all of those things aligning like the stars in the sky, you work on a costume.
And it magically happens. Bing!
Yes, it magically happens. But as far as picking the characters themselves, normally you end up just seeing a character that you particularly associate with, say in a video game, in your favorite anime, manga. You may see a movie that you enjoy on screen. You may even read a book that may or may not necessarily have pictures of said character, and you go, I want to do an interpretation of this character. So it's more of a monkey see, monkey do. I see character I like, therefore I make costume of it.
Therefore I make.
Yes. Yes, it is a very monkey see, monkey do sort of thing. Or you end up getting somewhat jaded and or bored or cannot find a character, and then you go find a place like the Anime Character Database.
Yeah.
And you just browse through pages upon pages of character photos going, huh, what looks like something I would like to do? And then you end up, you know, drawing out plans and starting to do it. I know that some people, I've been guilty of this, try and find characters that look like them already because it makes it a little bit easier and that you don't have to do so many alterations, especially hair color. It's a lot easier if you find a character you don't have to wear a wig for.
Let's see. Well, I'm trying to think of how I can explain this, because for me, a lot of the characters that I pick are obscure. Like, I'll pick series, or I'll pick games, or I'll pick something that I have a relationship to, or that I love, or that I like to play, or something like that. But a lot of the characters that I feel a connection towards, or that I feel have a really cool style, are usually not lead characters, or they're the villains. I don't know what that says about me. But I also like to pick characters where their outfits allow me the opportunity to learn a new technique, or to try something different. So you'll never see me in the same type of costume twice. You're going to see a multiple variety of different types of costumes from me. The fact that I've made two kimonos and I make them blindfolded, I mean, I think that says a lot compared to like the 20 plus costumes that I've got sitting in my closet right now. Only two of them are regal enough. I've got a series of dresses, I've got pants, I've got God knows what else is in there anymore. So I don't know, I guess a lot of it is just variety in the costume, but I think mostly it's picking characters that you love, picking characters that you want to be, that you want to interpret. It's not fun being in a costume of something that you really don't appreciate, or that you're kind of forced to go into a group just because it was one of your friends. They're like, hey, you would be so good as so-and-so. I don't like that anime. Just do it for us. You're not going to have a good time. It's okay to say no to those costumes, people. It's totally fine. So just pick
like
characters
armor.
That you love. Huh?
I like armor.
Yeah, you like armor. You're an armor freak.
I choose characters that wear a bunch of armor.
I choose fabric. I like my fabric.
Well, fabric is certainly easier to store.
Heck yeah, it is.
Next!
All right, next question. We're done with that one. All right, how often do you cosplay, and how much would you like to cosplay?
More.
A lot more.
How often do you cosplay? Not enough. How much
Not
would
enough.
You like? More?
More. Next question! Let's see, how many conventions have I been to this year?
You cosplay far more than I do. Although I think we both mostly do it at conventions.
Yeah, I don't usually cosplay outside of conventions unless it's specifically for a photo shoot. In which case, I've done a lot more this year. I probably, convention-wise, somewhere between 5 to 8 times a year. Outside of conventions, 3 to 5 times. Would I like to cosplay a lot more? Heck yeah. If I could do it every weekend, absolutely. I just need a good reason for it, because most of the time it's just like, man, this is too much effort to wear it around my house.
Most of mine I can't wear around my house, because they have armor.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it a little more difficult to move.
Yeah.
But I also don't like wearing my costumes outside of convention, because I'm afraid something's going to happen to them. I'm going to tear something, something's going to spill on it, something's going to rip. I'm going to end up going out, and my neighbors are going to see me as I walk to my mailbox dressed as Lena Inverse.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, no. I always cosplay at conventions, and unfortunately, I don't get to go to as many as I would like, simply because it's extraordinarily difficult for me to get the days I want off, which end up being end of month or beginning of month. Thanks, Akon. And Anime Fest. So, unfortunately, do I get to cosplay as much as I would like? No. Let me clarify that. Hell no. Would I like to cosplay more? Yes, please. However, that takes money and time that I don't currently have.
Yeah. There's a lot of ifs on that. There's ifs and buts and coconuts.
Yes, there are coconuts involved. They are delicious. All right. The what fabric should I avoid with a costume is kind of a repeat.
Yeah, so we'll skip that one.
To be honest. We'll skip that one. Where do you get your wigs? Online, usually, unless you happen to be at a convention that has a wig seller with a dealer's table there. The big ones usually end up being Costworks, Arda, and Epic Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that most cosplayers we know patronize regularly. Not to say that we don't ever get wigs anywhere else, but Those are the ones that we regularly patronize. I know several people that get their materials through Taobao, or they will order overseas from eBay, because there are quite a few overseas sellers of wigs where you can get, you know, decent-looking wigs for a cheap price. Mm-hmm. But bear in mind that, like many things in life, the price is usually directly proportional to the quality of your wig.
Yep.
So if your wig is selling for $10, you probably want to be asking questions about, what is the wig made of? Can I style it? What can I style it with? Are there any problems with this wig I should know about? And how much is shipping? Because I don't want you to be charging me $50 to ship a $10 wig.
Right.
So quite frankly, I know that a lot of people use Epic Cosplay and Arda simply because, one, they're in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to worry about overseas shipping time, because, you know, they have to go through customs. And two, simply because they are proven sellers. They have reviews. There are cosplayers who regularly swear by them. So they are proven sellers. You can look them up. You can research them. You can see their stuff. You can see how people feel about dealing with them,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to somebody on eBay that you may or may not recognize at all, you know, despite viewer reviews. So I would say that, yeah, I think those are the big ones.
Yeah. Let's see. For me, here's how I break it down. If I need either a thick wig, or if I need something that's a natural color, I'll go with Arda. If I need a long wig, or if I need something of an unusual color, I'll go with Epic Cosplay. Or if I need to do more of an Asian hairstyle, or if I need a ridiculously long butt wig for a decent price, I'll go with Cosplay Anime Wigs, which is affiliated through Yahoo Store. Fantastic. They have some really, if you ever need to do a Japanese hairstyle, they actually have some wigs with a high hairline that are pulled back. They're really fun to work with, really easy to work with too. So I never have to worry about having to take out the entire front wefting and re-wefting everything into the back again. It's done for me, and it's pretty cheap too. It does take about a month for delivery, but you know what? If you give yourself plenty of time, it's worth it.
Exactly. Whenever you order a wig, give yourself extra time before the con. Don't order 2 weeks before the con. Even if the seller claims priority shipping, 2 to 3 days here in the U.S., just because they say that doesn't mean that something won't happen between
exactly.
the time you order and the con. You can have a warehouse burn down. You can have their supplier have some sort of delay for 2 weeks. You can have something run out of stock. You can have freak weather. I mean, you can have it get lost in the mail.
Oh, been there.
you can have so many things happen between the day you order and the day of the con that you want to give yourself a minimum of 1 month. Minimum of 1 month. Generally, you want to do six to eight weeks. Any more than that, and, you know, you'll have a wig sitting around. But generally, you know, 6 to 8 weeks is enough to make sure that you get your wig by the con.
Exactly.
Especially if you need to style it.
God, styling time, okay. For every hour that you think it's going to take you to style, add on an extra 5 more. No, I'm giving it 5, because if you're doing the crazier stuff, man, it takes forever. Ugh.
I'm thinking an average of 3. For the more complicated stuff, yeah, it's probably a 5. But if it's just cutting a wig, 3.
Yeah, if you're having to spike it, if you're having to add things to it, you give yourself a lot of time.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay, next question. What costume would you never make? God.
Would I never make? That's a good question.
I will never make a Gundam or an Evangelion-type costume, because I cannot make a mech to save my life. It will be a disaster of cardboard proportions.
Let's see. I can't say that there aren't any costumes I would never make, because there's always commission, but I would never wear liquid latex or anything similar to it, just because I do not have the body shape. I have lost my spandex wearing card decades ago. Yeah, nothing that is tight fitting like that. No, I will never wear it. I'll make it for somebody else, but I won't ever make for myself. no Catwoman for me, no Rogue for me. Yeah, no. None of that stuff. Umi's leotard is bad enough.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I guess the only other thing I can think of is, because my cosplay name is Tifa. Tifa comes from Final Fantasy VII. I'm probably never going to make that costume ever, because there are so many girls out there who've overdone the costume. Some of them are brilliant. Some of them are, like, freaking perfect, stepped out of the game. I am never going to look like that, so it's not going to happen. That's a personal one. Other than that and the Gundam-type costumes, I don't think I... like, because we'll talk about this in the after session with WCS. Like, those type of mech outfits are something I can never wrap my brain around. I think they're fantastic. I think they're awesome. I know I can't make those, and I'm not even going to attempt at it.
You just reminded me. I refuse to make any costume that involves a bikini. No, no Yoko Littner, no Naga. No.
You should see my dress form.
I will not make them. I work for a very conservative company. I would not live it down if pictures of me wearing something like that appeared on the internet. No. So just no. Of course, on the flip side of that, what cosplay is your dream costume? I already have mine, so.
Mine's already done.
Oh.
So I don't know if that really counts, but I need to get a new dream costume, I think. Because my dream costume for the longest time was Lady Eboshi from Princess Mononoke, and I made it in 2011. And to me, it's still like the most perfect costume I've made to date. I love the damn thing to death. I could sleep in that thing and be a happy camper. I love that costume so much. I need a new dream costume. I guess my Amidala one kind of counts, considering how much effort and work I'm putting into that biatch. Quite literally. I'm making the lace from scratch. I don't know if I have another dream one, though. That's a trick one. It's weird when you have a dream costume already done, because then do you need to have another dream? Because there are definitely...
Then you've achieved your dream.
Yeah, because I have a ton of other costumes I still want to make. I don't consider them dream costumes by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't know what would qualify anymore. That's a tricky.
See, both of mine are from Saint Seiya.
Mm-hmm.
And one I have already done, but not to my satisfaction. And that's Athena's Godcloth.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to throw in the trash. And it really hurt me to do that. And I promised myself that one day I will redo it correctly. To my satisfaction. It will be done. And I still have the pattern pieces. The other is the Aquarius gold cloth.
Right.
Same series. Which is on my to-do list for next year. Provided school lets me do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I already have the Pepakura file broken down.
Cool.
So that I can just print off the patterns on cardstock. Yes, it's going to take a little alteration because Pepakura is, you know, kind of 2D, very blocky. And it's based on a video game render, which isn't the smoothest thing in the world.
Ooh.
So, you know, I've done what I can to the file, but it's still going to be a little bit blocky. So I'm going to have to alter things a little bit. But still, no, it's on my list of things that I really, really want to do. Saint Seiya is more of an overseas series. It really didn't make it big here in the U.S. So there's a ton of viewers in South America and Asia that have done the cosplays from that series. They're the ones who do all of the vinyl over foam.
Mm-hmm.
That's really popular. And it looks really good when you do it right. But it's like, man, I want to do it here in the U.S. Ah! So those are my dream costumes. Let's see, armor, wings, shiny.
Yeah.
Props.
All the nice stuff.
I could incorporate glowy things. Yeah, that pretty much covers all of my bases.
Amber spectrum is complete.
The Erza lightning armor that I'm going to do next year is also kind of up there because it has the armor, the props, mm-hmm. the light-up stuff. Oh, yeah.
You know what makes Amber happy.
It hits all my buttons.
We just need her to spit fire and we're good.
I could do that.
Ah!
It's not very safe, but I know people who could teach me how to do that. It's one of the advantages of being a Rennie is then you get to know the fire breathers.
You get to know the cool kid with fire.
Yes, yes, yes. So that is the end of our Q&A. We have answered all of the questions ever in the world of cosplay now.
That's not true, but oh well. Close enough.
Close enough. We've answered them all for this episode. So why don't we move on a little bit to the other things that have gone on in this past week in the world of cosplay, which is Comic-Con.
Man, this is going to be a long bud episode. Whew.
This is going to be a lot. There was a lot to cover that went on in the last week. There was a lot of cosplay happening going on. It's just kind of all compressed into like 2 weeks. But the costumes at Comic-Con this year, some of them were easily equal to what I saw at World Cosplay Summit. There was just fantastic cosplay this year. And
what I love about Comic-Con is the fact that more and more celebrities are getting into the costume thing, mostly so they can roam the floor and not get stopped every 5 seconds.
If you guys haven't seen it, there's a video of Matt Smith doing this.
Matt Smith has done it. I know the guys from Mythbusters do it every year.
Well, no, I mean specifically there is a YouTube video of Matt Smith putting on a Bart Simpson mask, and they filmed him walking the floor talking to people. And he even puts on an American accent so that they can't tell who he is, and nobody will talk to him.
It's so funny.
They don't know it's him in the mask. And so, you know, as celebrities, I guess they kind of have a need and enjoy at times this anonymity that they can get by dressing up in a costume that doesn't show any of who they are. It's rather amusing if you go watch the video. It's on YouTube. So, yeah. Celebrities enjoy it, too. Although, Tom Hiddleston dressed up as Loki.
Yeah, that was fancy.
He didn't do it to hide.
No.
He did it to promote his panel, which we'll get into the article that they wrote on it. But he was dressed up in a studio-grade costume, as in one they would have used for the movie. It wasn't just something you could have bought off eBay and not something that somebody made for him, like, as a commission. No. These are professional costumers who made this for him, movie-grade costume. And I just kind of sat there and went,
want, need, must touch.
If nothing else, I want to see it up close so I can see the construction details.
I know, right?
It's kind of funny because I was watching the live blog of the panel, since cameras aren't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the live blog of the panel, and they were announcing, you know, Tom Hiddleston has come up dressed like Loki. And I sat there and I was commenting in the channel, like, you know, as awesome as I think Tom Hiddleston is as a character actor, I would be staring at him, not because he's Tom Hiddleston, but because he's wearing a movie-grade costume, and I would sit there and gawk over the details of the costume. And I would probably want to touch the costume as well, which security would probably not like very much.
Probably not.
So I was like, man, oh, I want to see that costume up close.
I don't know if you saw this one. Bryan Cranston, who was there for Breaking Bad, he walked around as Bryan Cranston. There, he actually had a mask made of his character. He put that on his head, and he was walking around as that. I was like,
that's funny. Well, you know, some of these actors are actually, I don't want to say hired to do it, but they actually do it as a form of marketing now.
Right.
Which, there was an article, and we'll link it in the show notes, that was actually recently written, especially referring to Comic-Con, but on cosplay as a marketing tool. They've actually had numerous calls on Facebook for Japan Expo for casting calls of cosplayers of certain characters to escort around the voice actors of those characters, or, you know, actors from the same series, or, you know, people who are especially involved with a movie involving these characters. They're actually, like, casting cosplayers as marketers, as marketing tools.
Jessica Nigiri does this. They've done it a couple times at E3 the past couple of years. So you're getting people who are specifically as cosplayers being asked to come in and represent either a company for a new video game, a new anime, a new product, whatever the case may be.
So it definitely represents a growing acceptance of cosplay as being a mainstream sort of thing.
Oh, we're going to get a lot more when that sci-fi show comes out.
Yes. I have to say that I'm not terribly fond of the commercialization of cosplay because it's not meant for that. It's really not meant to be a marketable sort of thing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can market yourself as a cosplayer, but it's not necessarily meant to market a show.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I have to at least agree with the growing exposure of it. At least it's getting cosplay into the eyes of people who wouldn't maybe normally see it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I have to give it props for that.
I kind of look at it like how the comic book movies have been such a big hit, and it's causing more people to actually go to a comic store and pick up a comic book. Most people don't realize that, heck, even 5 years ago, the comic book industry was not doing very well. And until these movies started coming out, people are now going in droves. You know, the industry's had such a resurgence, and it's been great. I mean, who cares if the characters aren't exactly like the ones in the comic books? We're getting more kids out there being creative and getting into these fascinating and unique worlds. I mean, heck, I'm all for it. Maybe not so much the commercialization, but that's okay. There's going to be good and bad with it.
I think a big part of it, actually, of why it's grown and attracted more people into it, is that advances in cosplay itself have made it possible to be more accurate to the character, to become more like the character for the average person.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy amazing costumes now that look just like the one in the movie, and the closer to a character it looks, the easier it is for a person to actually kind of get into character and feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really helped the average person who maybe originally looked at costumes that were real cheesy from Party City and went, eh. But then you can get a movie-grade costume from, you know, one of these movie replica-type stores, and they're like, yeah.
Sign
me up. I'll be the most awesome superhero on the block, man.
Hell yeah.
So I think that the advances in prop making and cosplay textiles have really helped the average person get access to quality cosplay.
I mean, heck, even the idea of screen printing your own fabric used to be ridiculously expensive. Now you can get it online at spoonflower.com, uber, uber cheap. You can screen print your own freaking pattern. I mean, good gravy. That's awesome and amazing, and I want to do that more often now.
So it looks like all in all, you know, cosplay is getting bigger by the day. It's certainly found its niche in the media.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there's even reality shows that are coming out, documentaries that are about cosplay that have been flying all over Facebook. So we're definitely going to be seeing more of this in coming weeks. And, you know, I have to say I'm happy. I'm happy to see it.
We'll see how everybody's interpretation is. Though I'm really curious. They had one that was for the Atlanta PBS station that came out maybe a week or two ago. I've seen a couple of commercials for it. I've seen previews for it. It looks really good, very well done. They're going to have it online by the end of the month or early next month. So I'm waiting for that, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it is as good as they've made it out to be. That one is one I'm really looking forward to.
Yep. And so we will close this episode after that massive... massive waterfall of cosplay stuff.
Sorry if we rambled too much. We're actually pretty on topic today.
There's even more in the after session.
Oh, yes.
So, as always, you can contact us via our various social media. You can email us at podcast@cospod.org. We would love to hear from you. Also, make sure to rate and review us on iTunes and on any of our other podcast aggregate services, as that helps more audience get a chance to see who we are and participate. Lastly, if you are out at conventions these past couple of weeks or in coming weeks, please send con reports to us, send pictures to us, so that we can put them up on our website, especially if we weren't able to go ourselves. So with that, we will see you next episode. 43, dudes! Later!
Bye, guys!